I would like to talk to you just for a few moments from this subject, a message against mediocrity. A message against mediocrity. When we hear the word mediocrity or mediocre, we think of something that is just average or not very good. We think of something that is barely adequate. As we come to examine one of the churches in Asia Minor, we see that Jesus has a message to the church of Laodicea and likewise for the church of the 21st century. He wants to highlight some issues so that the church of Laodicea would understand what he expects from them so that they can be in line with his will and his way for their lives. In this day and time, Laodicea was a rich city. It was a prosperous city. It was, from all outward appearances, a city that had a lot going on. They had a wonderful banking system. They had a wonderful garment district where rare wools and fine silks were sold. They were brought and bartered. A wonderful medical center specializing in ophthalmology. So here we have Laodicea looking great from all outward appearances. But when Jesus looks at us, he looks beyond the outward appearance with a serious and penetrating eye. When Jesus looks at us, he sees much deeper than what the naked eye can see. Some of us came to church this morning looking good on the outside. But we're all jacked up on the inside. You see, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool Jesus anytime. Jesus is looking penetrantly into our situation. And the good news is that he sees our hurts. He sees our challenges. He sees our concerns, and he knows exactly what's going on with us. There's an old hymn that says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And the chorus line of that song says, Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. So here in our text, we see that Jesus looks very closely at this church in Laodicea, and there is a challenge here. Jesus has a few good things to say about the other churches, but when it comes to Laodicea, he does not have one good word to say about them at all. And that's interesting because out of the seven churches in Asia Minor, Jesus gives four churches a word of commendation and a word of condemnation. And then he tells four of them, you're doing well in one area, but you are slack in another. And then two of the churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, he says, y'all got it going on. All is well. I cannot find fault in you. I am proud of you. But when he gets to the church of Laodicea, Jesus says, I've got nothing good to say about you. I don't know about you. I can only speak for myself. I don't want Jesus to take inventory of the life of Debbie San Pablo and say, I have nothing good to say about you. What about you? My brothers and sisters, don't get stuck in antiquity. Don't get stuck in ancient times and think that Jesus is only talking to the church at Laodicea. Jesus is looking up and down the aisles, up and down the pews. He's not just talking to the corporate body of Patchogue United Methodist Church, but he's talking to the person who is sitting in each and every pew, every seat. He's talking to you. Now let's take note. The Church of Laodicea is not a bad church. They are not wicked people. Yes, there is sin in the church, but wherever you have people, you will have sin. Why? Because the Bible says so. The Bible says that we all of us, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As we examine the church of Laodicea, we find out that they are not evil people, as I stated. However, Jesus gives them a message against mediocrity. It is so important that we understand this message so that we don't fall into the same category as the church of Laodicea. So point number one, Jesus gives them a message against mediocrity because they have lack passion. They have a lack of passion. And it's right here in the text. Jesus says, I know your deeds. I know your works. I know what you have been doing. I know that you have been a good church. I know that you've got a nice building. I know your deeds. But he says here, my issue with you, you are neither cold nor hot. You don't have any enthusiasm. You don't have any zeal. I wish you were one or the other, but you are lukewarm. And I like the PowerPoint. We didn't get to see it that much, but it said straddling the fence. That's what we're talking about. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're mediocre. Straddling the fence. Oh, get off the fence. There it go. There it is. Get off the fence. You're straddling the fence. Now, this is the only time in the New Testament that this word lukewarm appears. Jesus says, I can't deal with you when you are lukewarm. Lukewarm means you're half-hearted, uncommitted, and wavering in your service. Jesus says, I don't want to have anything to do with you because you're lukewarm. You say they believe in me, but you are not wholehearted. When a church is lukewarm, Jesus says, you make me sick to my stomach. It's right there in the text. Jesus says, when you have no passion, when you are indifferent, when you are trying to straddle the fence, when you don't care about God or his house, which are one, when you only come to church on the first Sunday, or maybe the first and the third Sunday of the month, when I go look for you on Sundays, you're not here. When you have that kind of lukewarm spirit, Jesus says, you make me sick to my stomach so much so that I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus says, lukewarm folk are distasteful. They're disgusting because they have no passion. It's here in the word. It's the word. Sometimes the word comes to cut. To refine. Point number two. The reason they didn't have any passion is because they had too much pride. Jesus says, I know why you don't have any passion. It's because you think you brought yourself to where you are. If we look at verse 17, it says, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. Just like the church of Laodicea, some of us think that we got it going on and now we can sit back and relax. Some of us think that because we have risen to a certain level that all is well and I'm just going to chill. That thought process is all wrong. This is the time for us to do God's work. There are so many people out there that need Jesus. We can't be lukewarm. We got to be hot. We can't be cold. We've got to be hot for Jesus and do all that we can do. At Laodicea, it was due to pride that God was moved out of the way. And now they have put themselves in the place of God. Does that sound familiar? Jesus says, you've got a lot of pride. You think you got it together, but let me give you my evaluation. You say you're rich, but I say you are wretched, you are pitiful, and there is nothing good in you. I don't know about you, but when I get a report card from Jesus, I don't want that written in my comment section. You've got too much pride, and the Bible says pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a great fall. You must realize that you've got what you've got because who you've got. You didn't get it. You didn't get what you got by yourself. I know I'm not talking correct English, but it's okay. But it was God who allowed you to get where you are now. We must give God glory. Thank you for my mind, God. Thank you for allowing me to be able to comprehend those numbers, if you're a numbers person. God, thank you for allowing me to acquire my home. Thank you for allowing me to keep my credit good. Think about it. If it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? We've all messed up. We've all done stuff wrong. Nobody's excluded. Nobody. But God will forgive us and we can move forward. Now, the text moves from lack of passion, too much pride, and now to a life of privileges. In verse 19, Jesus says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Think about your child. When your child does something they're not supposed to do, you rebuke them, you discipline them, you still love them. But if you don't stop them, you let them do whatever they want to do, they're going to go wild when they get older. If I tell you your curfew is at midnight, that's what time you come home. If you come home after that, then you're going to get disciplined. If I tell you to eat your dinner, eat the vegetables. Eat the vegetables. You're going to sit here at this table if you're going to sit here all night. Eat those vegetables. Right? Sometimes our children, they think they know better than we do. They don't realize that we've been where they're going, where they're headed. We did all those little tricks and things, so you can't get over on us. We did that when we were younger. But you have to rebuke them. You have to discipline them. As much as it hurts you, oh my God, it hurts me to my core to have to discipline Naya. Oh my God, if I say, or if we say, you can't have your phone for a week, oh my God, I just go crazy. I'm like, oh my God, she doesn't have her phone. But we have to teach her a lesson. You can't do what you want to do. And that's what God is saying to us. You can't do what you want to do. You have to do what I tell you to do. When you do what you want to do, you're lukewarm, almost leaning over to cold. But Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. So if you're not going to do it, then just don't do it at all. Don't even bother with church. Don't even bother with anything. But lukewarm can't straddle the fence. But all we have to do is be earnest and repent. God, forgive me for what I did. God brought it to our attention that we did something wrong. God, forgive me. Here's the good news in the text. Whenever the Lord rebukes, the Bible says that's a sign that the Lord loves you. And when we rebuke our kids, when we discipline our kids, it's a sign that we love them because we want the best for them. So God wants the best for us. Is there anybody grateful this morning that the Lord loves you? Amen. Somebody knows that every now and then the Lord has to tighten you up and to come in and strengthen you, shake your world upside down to get you on track. No, it wasn't the devil. No, it wasn't some demonic force, but it was the Lord who sent trouble in your life just to tell you to get yourself together, get back in line, do what you are supposed to do. That is a clear indication that you are loved by the great I am. So as we look at verse 20, Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is saying, I know you've been tripping. I know you're messed up. I know you have no passion. I know you have a lot of pride. I know you've done some stuff that you shouldn't be doing. But here I am. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. We serve an awesome God who will give us another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance. You see, some folk would have thought that just because you messed up, that the Lord would just leave you alone. But Jesus says, even though you're not as hot as you ought to be, even though you are meddling in mediocrity, even though you're lukewarm, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Somebody ought to take notice today that Jesus is available to you. He's right here today to do whatever needs to be done in your life today. He is saying, I love you so much that I'm standing at the door knocking, waiting for you to let me in. If you hear my voice, open the door. I will come in. I will eat with you. Your call to action this morning is to move past the mediocrity and open the door so Jesus can commune with you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word. Oh God, I hope that you have touched the people, that I have said what you wanted me to say. Oh God, please help us to not be mediocre. Help us to be hot, to be able to do what you have called us to do. Build us up individually and collectively. Strengthen us, oh God. Help us to move forward. Help us to want more of you, God. We need you, Jesus. Continue to minister to your people. Let them know. Let them hear the knock. You're standing at the door of their heart. And let them open the door and invite you in so that you can commune and have fellowship with them. So God, we thank you for this word. We don't want to be like the church of Laodicea. Strengthen us as one. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen.